It's time for the Apple Watchcast, what to expect in the new Apple hardware for the rest of the year, including a plastic Apple Watch. An iPad robot is in the works. Which Apple Watch is most popular, and the SuperDrive is super dead. Plus reviews of Remudio Gate Controller, iOS 18 public beta, and there's an AI for that.com. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 473, recorded Saturday, August 18th, 2024. What's a luff?
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Guten Morgen.
I'm sorry, what was that? Good morning. Okay. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello, Tom. Hey, Vincent.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. By the way, just a quick note here. You hear some noise in the background from me. I just had CenterPoint Energy show up with like five of the biggest vehicles I've ever seen parked in front of my house. They're trimming trees.
Oh.
All throughout our neighborhood by the power lines. You know, little late, right?
Wonderful.
after the hurricane and the storms knocking down the trees, they're on this campaign to trim everything. So they've been doing that for the last couple of days, and it's just heard them pull up. So if you hear chainsaws in the background, that's all it is. So, yeah.
Okay. Nothing yet.
Okay. They just got here. Give them some time. it's been kind of crazy. A bit of a light week again. We were just talking before we started recording here that we're just a month away from a September event for Apple, right? Which will be new iPhones and hopefully info on the new watch and all that good stuff. And we actually have a whole thing to talk about here as to what to expect hardware-wise for the rest of the year and into next year from Apple coming up in the news. But yeah, it's hard to believe it's only that far away. What happened to the summer? I mean, it's already here.
Yeah, we're coming into the last month of baseball season, which is crazy.
It's this, like you said, there's this weird time where I'm flipping between a preseason football game and I'm missing part of the baseball game to watch. You know, it's just crazy.
Right.
Yeah, it's the overlap is, and baseball's got a long way to go, all the way through October. So, that's a little strange. Anything before you want to dive into the news here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go.
Okay, first up, Apple is coming under fire, if you will, for this new Patreon commission. So this directly affects our listeners. So
yeah.
That's why I wanted to bring this up. So what they've decided to do, Apple has decided to charge a 30% commission on Patreon subscriptions, which will either see creators receive less, like us, or supporters charged more. See, John Gruber said that Apple was degrading its brand. And then Macworld accused Apple of charging for providing negative value. So Patreon, if you're not aware, is a monetization platform for independent creators, writers, artists, videographers, podcasters, people like that. That's how we get money, our Patreon subscribers to our show monthly subscribe, you know, $1, $5, whatever they can afford, whatever they want to give to help just pay for the cost, right, of the website and everything else it takes to put the show on. Mm-hmm. So we're not for profit here. We don't run ads. We don't do anything. We kind of depend on Patreon to just keep us going, right? And that's fine. This is just for fun. This is not, and the passion of it is not to make money off of this, right? And Patreon normally charges a commission 9 to 12%. Apple never charged a commission for those payments, and nobody really knows why. But they do have an exemption, I think, for optional gifts made by users. But that only applies if 100% of it goes to the recipient, which isn't the case with Patreon, right? Patreon takes that cut. So nobody really knows. Did they have a special deal with them or what was going on? But now this starts in November, by the way. And I got an email from Patreon earlier this week or earlier last week about this, telling the a very, very nice email, by the way. They weren't like upset or threatening or anything like that. They took a really nice stance on it just to clearly explain what's going on, saying that Apple was requiring them to adopt in-app purchases with two consequences for creators. Apple will be applying their 30% app store fee to all new memberships purchased in the Patreon iOS app, in addition to anything brought in your Patreon shop. So if you sell merchandise and gear and that sort of thing, any creator currently on their first of the month or per creation billing plan will have to switch over to subscription billing to continue earning the iOS earning in the iOS app, because that's the only billing type Apple's in-app purchase system supports. So that means creators will receive 30% less, or supporters will have to pay more for the same benefits. Now, I don't think this does not apply to current subscribers, right? I think they're kind of grandfathered in, that just stays the way it is. This is all new stuff starting in November. So we'll keep an eye on this, see if Apple changes its tune between now and November because of pressure. But I don't know really what to do here with this, other than I don't think this applies if you subscribe to the show directly through Patreon.
I would assume it does not. It's only for iOS app.
Right. If you pay through Patreon, not through the iOS app. And I've always said, I always send people or try to, I've always from the very beginning sent them directly to Patreon, right? Patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. So hopefully that this may not apply to any of our current subscribers. So, but again, we'll just keep an eye on this, see what happens. Apple may kind of bow down on this. I mean, it makes no sense because yes, Patreon is a big company, but that's not who this money's coming from. It's different when they, this was from, who was it? Someone else. Macworld mentioned this. They said, it's one thing when Apple tries to get money from Amazon or Netflix, but Patreon creators are largely independent writers, artists, musicians, podcasters, trying to make a little extra money while doing something they love or simply need to do it to get by. And then they say, in contrast, Apple's the richest company in the world. Okay, that doesn't really have any bearing on it, but that first part is true. This is not, this kind of surprises me, actually. What do you guys think about this?
Same.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, the thing is, it's surprising that I'm just kind of wondering how much money actually gets transacted through Patreon, that it's actually that significant for Apple to actually take notice, which is kind of interesting. But beyond that, I mean, the 30% is, that's pretty steep. I mean, I understand, like, there's credit card processing fees, like, you know, the 1 or 2% type of thing. But man, this is a money grab.
So, oh, you're breaking up there, Vincent. Not...
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was my end.
No, you were.
For once, it's not me.
I haven't done anything different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. We'll just keep going here. Just keep going. I think it comes and goes. You know, it's that normal internet connection. Lovely thing. That 30% is pretty steep for
it is.
Well, but again, for someone like Amazon or the bigger companies, it makes sense. Apple did change it. Small businesses commission 15%. Well, these are even smaller than that. This is like us. I mean, you know, that doesn't.
Well, I mean, you can give as low as $5 a month on Patreon, can't you?
A dollar.
A dollar a month.
You can set that. Okay. We set what those are, but yeah.
Right.
You can go
right.
as low as okay. a buck. Yeah. It's, I don't understand why they would risk their reputation and brand on something. The money's just not worth it.
It's not. And it's a total money grab. At least it feels like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. like you said, maybe make it 5%. That does cover some fees and maybe some administrative costs, maybe 7%. I, you know, you could probably get away with that. 30% is just nuts.
Well, why do it? Why not just keep it the way it is?
Or keep it the way it is. Now, like, Ken,
that's what I'm saying. It might be significant. So I don't know. I mean, it's how much are they processing that they're having to even show up on their radar?
I think it has to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that can Patreon in their iOS app, when you download it and launch it, can they say, hey, go here instead?
But well, that's the whole thing Apple's been fighting with the EU and everything, you know, other forms of payment, et cetera, that happens with, what was it, Audible and some other things. And what was the famous Fortnite or whatever. Anyway, they've been fighting this for quite a while. I just don't understand. This is a different case. This isn't just a company making money. This is the individual people who are going to, it's going to affect, you know, it's not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised that they're digging in like this. And I understand what Apple's trying to do. They're putting more and more pressure on Apple to perform in services, right? Because iPhone sales are down, to bring that number up. And the way to bring that number up is with subscriptions and consistent cash flow, right? So I'm sure someone looked at this and said, hey, you're right, Vincent, look at the number. Why aren't we getting a cut of this? Patreon's a big company. Without really looking at what the PR ramifications of this would be. Because isn't Apple all about the individual creator?
They are, right? They're about the creator and being dynamic and individual. And
this is the opposite.
Totally against it, yeah. What would Steve do?
So I'll start a wild rumor. Okay, here's a wild rumor. Apple's doing this because they're going to come out with their own version of Patreon done through the Apple Card.
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, can do that now.
Yes, you could. They could do it so easily. But no, that's not what's going on here.
Well, if they charge 30%, then people are, it's going to be hard adoption.
This is a lawyer somewhere.
Yeah.
This is a lawyer somewhere.
Anyway, like... we'll see what I have a feeling this isn't the last we're going to hear about this.
Yeah, I think this is a fumble that will be recovered and changed. And not sure if is this one that will not go quietly, right? If they change it, it'll be big news again, I think. It's not something they can just change under the radar and it kind of goes away.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is an unforced error. They should not have done this. And I don't know who approved it or why, but the PR, they must have known the PR flack they did for this, right? Anyway, we'll keep an eye on the what? It is. But somebody had to approve that. That's what gets me. It's not just coming up with the idea and tossing it out in a meeting. It's got approved. It got done. It got implemented. You know, that requires approval from on high, right? So
finance, you know, it's always the finance guys, Tom.
Or is it, here's another wild rumor. Apple is being run by AI completely. And this was just an AI decision.
Yeah. Oh, could be. Maximize revenue.
Yes. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on this. We'll let you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But for the moment, be assured nothing is going to change until November, at which point this will either, you know, be gone and not have to worry about it, or we'll adjust from there. So,
yeah, I just think one last thing. Mm-hmm. They gave it 60, 90 days to play it out so they can change it, because they threw it out there because, like you said, Vincent, it's probably billions of dollars and they wanted to kind of see what the public feedback was. While we're doing this, I'm going into ChatGPT 4.0 and I'm going to ask how much revenue Patreon, how much revenue does Patreon distribute in 2023? Oh, retry. Somehow it's not. It didn't connect to the internet.
Oh, well, that's an issue.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll get it done.
Okay. Let us know. All right. Moving on. I was sad to see this. Did you ever have an Apple SuperDrive?
No.
On a computer?
I really didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, it's a basically a CD/DVD drive in an aluminum flat case, USB-A plugged into your computer. So if you have a computer that didn't have a CD drive, Apple came out with this back when they first brought out the MacBook Air, right? Many years ago. Mm-hmm. This was an accessory you could get. I think it was $100 or more at the time. I had no clue they were still making them, or you could still buy one. I guess in the back of my mind, I always thought they you could always go into a store and get one. But now apparently that someone's noticed that it's no longer online through their Apple store, or the webpage says sold out. Mm. Now the product came out in 2008. Mm-hmm. And obviously if they're discontinuing it, they're not going to make any more. They did say that you could, if you scrambled, you might be able to find a unit available for pickup at one of the retail stores, but that's slowly going away. I think it's still available in the UK and Brazil of all places. But it's only a matter of time before it's completely gone. I have at least two of these drives working right now on machines that I'm using. Because we use them to test the CDs that we burn and stuff for the software that we sell. We do it by download or by CD, believe it or not. Tons of people still want the CD. And the reason for that is they have collections of designs that go way back, and they need a way to read, to access them, right? Instead of, because not everybody's savvy enough to be able to, you know, completely digitize their collection and all that. They just have all this drawer full of CDs, right? So anyway, when I saw this, that, and I looked it up and I could not find one, I went on eBay and I found one. It was only like $30, brand new, still sealed, because the word hadn't quite gotten out yet. I bet if you could look now, they're going to be more expensive. So I got one. I had it shipped, delivered, done. So I have a backup one just in case I need it. If my other two drives, you know, fail, because you can't really get a computer with a CD drive anymore. What, according to this article, Apple phased out optical drives in 2013. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can get a cheaper one from whatever company, but I like these. These work. These work very well. What did they call? Well, the reason they called it a super drive was because you could, I think it was one of the first where you could do DVDs as well. Mm-hmm. Not Blu-ray.
Could you burn them?
Yeah.
Just view them.
That's why they call it a super drive. It could do everything at the time. So anyway, just because I love the ease of plugging it in, knowing it's going to work.
Right.
I just got one as a backup just to have, but this one is in the Apple aluminum case. You know, everything about it just feels like an Apple product.
Right, right.
It's heavy. Right. You know, it's not a cheap plastic thing. And they last forever. I mean, you know, I don't know why I bought an extra one, but they last forever. But I've never had an issue with one dying on me yet. I bought that as a backup.
Yeah, my laptop, the new one I bought, I just had to get an adapter.
Any desktop is still going to have those legacy ports, the USB-A connectors. Mm-hmm. Now, this drive only works at USB 2.0 speed, but I don't need speed. I just need to make sure it works and I can test things with it, right? So, end of an era.
So, this goes into that end of era portion of your museum.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, if I never have to use it, it's still sealed. So, you know, I should probably open it up and make sure that what I bought is actually in there. Have you seen that show on TV about this company, they do auctions One of the biggest auction places ever there in Vegas. Anyway, and they had the sealed iPhone that we talked about, you know. That
oh, no. And they opened it?
No.
Okay.
But part of their show was the person came in, they had it, they x-rayed it to make sure, and we talked about that even in the article.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
x-rayed it, made sure yeah. it was in there. So you got to actually see them do it. And one of the guys who worked there, who was working on this particular project, he says, he had like three or four other iPhones himself personally that were sealed. And he brought them in to have them scanned. And one of them did not scan as an iPhone.
Oh, no.
And they opened it up and it was some cheap little flip phone crap.
Oh, no.
Yes. He got scammed on that one. So maybe I should open it and make sure that's actually in there.
Well, get it scanned, Tom. Just get it scanned. Don't know. Because when you do the museum, the most interesting part will be your little write-ups that you put on the little plaques in front of them.
Yeah.
And you could say, hey, this was purchased and never opened. It's my backup. I scanned it. It's legit. You know, all that stuff's got to go in the plaque.
Well, just take it to my doctor's visit next time and have him scan it.
Yeah.
You mind scanning this too while you're doing that? I'm, you know, after the show, I may just go and open that thing up just to make sure that what's in it is supposed to be in it.
That's right. That's right.
We'll see. What else is going on? I thought this was kind of interesting. You know, we talked about Apple Watch going to micro LED. We've been talking about that for a while, and they recently abandoned those plans because it was too difficult to make it in the quantities that they needed. Well, LG, who was going to supply them with key components for this display, is now seeking compensation for the cancellation of the project, even though Apple never put in an actual order. Mm-hmm. They did, what would you say? They let LG know their intentions, but they did not actually sign anything. But LG went ahead and did a bunch of stuff to get ready for it to the tune of about tens of billions of won, which is about $1.5 million.
Yeah, I was trying to read through that. Did it state that they did not sign any kind of contract?
They didn't go as far as placing orders. But they did give them enough confidence in the plans that they went ahead and spent money for production, geared up, I guess, some facility, hire people, all that kind of stuff, manpower.
Man.
What's funny is at the end of this, the report, they said Apple will likely increase the price it pays LG for OLED displays for iPhones and iPads as a form of compensation for the loss.
Yeah. If it ain't in writing, it ain't real.
Yeah. But yeah, it, you know, they do business with Apple all the time. I'm sure
they do. Yeah,
no big deal to go ahead and pre-plan that to be ready because Apple wants you to be ready, right? I thought it was interesting this move towards micro LED on Apple's part was originally Apple Watch. I think was LCD with conventional backlighting. Then it moved to LCD with mini LED backlighting. Now the Apple Watch, iPhone, and latest iPads currently use OLED, and with the MacBooks are about to follow on that. But the micro LED was supposed to be the next step, and you're supposed to try it out, transition it slowly with the small screens, and then work your way up. Well, it just isn't going to happen right now. And they may leapfrog that, right? They may go to something else beyond micro LED. Who knows?
Right.
But anyway.
Now the question is, will it go to litigation, and will Apple spend more than $1.5 million in litigation?
No, that's a rounding error. That's a rounding error for them. That is change in the cushions. They would easily just pay it and move on.
That's about 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. in revenue.
One day. I mean, if you think about it, that what they said in that article is probably the easiest thing for Apple to do. It's like, okay, half a cent more for the screens or whatever for a year, you know, until that money's made up, I'm sure is what they'll do.
Right.
Okay. This is just kind of, again, one of those things you're like, really? That's what they're doing? It turns out that there's a new teaser trailer, if you will, slash trailer, teaser, whatever you want to call it, for Toy Story 5. They're actually going to make another film. But the way they did this teaser, this was launched during Disney's 2024 D23 conference. They played this little teaser for a Pixar thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The entire thing is using assets from your Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. The Toy Story Apple Watch face, which is, by the way, 7 years old, is, and somebody did a side-by-side comparison. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see this article. Between the trailer and the Apple Watch face, they're just taking the exact animation and changing out the background on it. So they didn't produce any new material, which they probably don't have it yet, and they needed a teaser. But is that not the most bizarre thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, you're in creative, Tom, and I know, Vince, you work with Tom at a firm. It just seems like, to that point, it's like the laziest thing you can do.
It's either that or you had nothing else to do it with, right? Creating animation is expensive. And unless they've already started the process and had footage to put together, or you use old footage from
4 previous movies, maybe?
Yeah, but people would recognize that too.
Maybe you could do something to them, or coddle them together a little differently or something.
Maybe. I mean, but I maybe it was just for this conference. Maybe it's not supposed to be a public thing, but it obviously was released that way. You know, for the conference, that would make sense, right? it's funny how the trailer was 7 years in the making, so to speak, right?
That's right. That's right.
And we've been beta testing that trailer for 7 years. We've all been watching it. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Maybe they could do watch faces that are teasers for movies from now on, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. But then again, they have rights to it. They created it 7 years ago specifically for the Apple Watch.
So any movie that has the word ultra in it, maybe you can see some really kick butt watch faces.
There you go. I love it. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see this. I mean, it does sound like the kind of thing you would do as a creative where it's last minute and you have no content whatsoever to really work with to put something together. It's probably the fastest way to do it.
Well, to your point, Vincent, they probably dusted something off because that's been created and sit and done and dusted, right? It's long been gone. So who thought of to go find it? Like, where is that? I don't know. Is it under Linda's desk? Go check with her. I mean, who would it be, you know?
It is, ironically, the only footage of Toy Story that is not in a movie.
Yeah.
Right? And it is the latest footage that they're using. So technically...
There's no Toy Story shorts or anything out there?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that were done post-movie.
Yeah, there might have been. But
within the last 7 years, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either. But I just wonder what the heck the story's going to be. You know?
That's right. Didn't Toy Story 4, they kind of broke up? Didn't the gang break up? Didn't Woody go with... I don't know.
I don't remember how it ended, but... wasn't that the one that Keanu Reeves was in? He was the motorcycle guy, the evil Knievel toy?
Probably.
I think that was the last one. Yeah. Anyway. All right.
I vaguely remembered. I've seen all of them. My kids love them. From the time they were little kids to the time they were adults, right? It's kind of...
Yeah, it had the spork thing in there.
The spork, yeah.
Yeah. This was something that was... near and dear to Steve Jobs' heart, right? This whole first one, his gamble he took on Pixar paid off big time. Okay.
Yeah. He definitely, I'm 100% convinced. Doesn't Woody leaves at the end of Toy Story 4. He breaks up with the group. So,
okay. what else is going on? Oh, August 25th, National Park Activity Challenge from Apple. They're going to host that once again. It'll be Sunday, August 25th. So that's coming up end of next week, I guess. Mm-hmm. To celebrate national parks across the U.S., you have to do a workout, any kind of workout, for at least 20 minutes. to get the award, and you'll get your animated stickers that you can use in the Messages app. And these animations are pretty cool.
They are.
They seem to be getting better. Mm-hmm. And they're still simplified. Hummingbird is not. Are these the same as what we've done seen before? I can't remember.
We say that every time, and then we go and look, and we find out some are and some aren't.
Some are different, and some some are not. So,
I was just in a state park yesterday.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of state parks. When I opened this, I was thinking, oh, go do a run in a state park, but you don't even have to be in a state park. You just have to do it on the specific day.
Mm. Yeah, you can do it anywhere. Doesn't have to be that.
I like the kayak. The kayak is great.
Yeah, I was just trying to look here to see, trying to find where they've hidden those stickers now, because I used to have them.
Yeah, good luck.
No stickers. What?
Oh, did you lose all your stickers from your, oh, no. Well, Tom, you were.
Hold on. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for right now. Oh, activity. There it is. Put it under the activity thing. Oh my gosh, it's not sorted. It's just a.
What is it under? Oh, limited edition challenges. There you go.
Yeah, I'm just looking at all the stickers. Oh, I've got a bunch of them, and that is different. It's a different color theme, and I don't see the rock climber or the canoe. I mean, those might be brand new.
Oh, they are. Yeah, I've looked at two of mine, and they're totally different. The color scheme. Yeah, it's so they are refining them, which is great.
Yeah, they are different.
Same kind of theme, though. Same kind of theme, just a little different design. And then, the individuals, like the rock climber and the kayak, those are
new. I always forget about these when you're sending messages to people that you've got all of this cool animated stuff to send. Anyway. Cool looking stickers. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can see that.
I have one from 2017 is my first one, Tom, and then 2023 is my last one. So I think if they did one every year, I probably have it. But those are the ones. Last year's was pretty nice.
Yeah, they've all been cool. Well, I'll go through these later. Let's let's move on. Great radio, does it?
We went down a rat hole, and they're like, come on, keep going.
Keep going. Okay. This is a bit of a surprise, but not really to me. This was a study about what the most popular Apple Watch was in 2024. Mm-hmm. This is from a company called CIRP, SERP. They looked at what Apple Watch models U.S. consumers are buying this year. And while the Pro models are the most popular for the iPhone and the iPad, that's not the case for the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. The number one seller for the June quarter in the U.S. was the Apple Watch Series 9, 43% market share. Second place was the Series 8,
right,
19%, with the Apple Watch SE and the Ultra 2 coming in third and fourth. With 12 and 11 percent, respectively. So, and then the very, very bottom, the Apple Watch Ultra and the Nike came in fifth and sixth with 9% and 5%. Mm-hmm. So they put a little chart here. I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to look at this. So it looks like the Series 9 is more than the Ultra, Ultra 2, Nike, and SE combined.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Could be priced too. And
well, that was the other thing. I was looking in the comments on this article, and someone mentioned the fact that the Series 9 offers 26 different models, not including the band variations, with a cost ranging from $399 to $1,049. On the other hand, the Ultra 2 is only available in one model. Mm-hmm. Priced at $799. So, yeah, there's just more options. And price is a consideration, of course, but the Series 9 has the most variety than the others, I guess. Interesting. I guess I'm not that surprised, but the Series 8 having almost 20% does surprise me a little bit.
Same here.
Yeah.
That could be a price play, though, because those have got to be cheaper, don't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But not as cheap as the SE.
True.
Right?
True.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, people are right in the middle, right, between the high end and the low. They're right in the middle. And we'll mention something here in a minute that's going to change that whole thing going forward. Okay, this is from Bloomberg, Mark Gurman, talking about Apple's iPhone 16 coming out in a month or so. And he gets into this is a pretty interesting observation here about how last year's iPhone 15 Pro had that titanium shell for the first time. Mm-hmm. But it was basically the same phone as the previous one. And while the iPhone 14 Pro added the dynamic island, it wasn't much of a change from the 13 Pro, which in turn was only a minor tweak from the 12. You see the pattern. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, unfortunately, the iPhone 16 fits that pattern this year. The four new models will likely be called iPhone 16, the 16 Plus, the 16 Pro, and the 16 Pro Max. They won't look really different than the current versions or add any major new features. The big marketing point, he says, is going to be Apple Intelligence, which will run on these new models, the iPhone 16 lineup. But he says they'll also work on the iPhone 15 Pro, so even less of a reason to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the non-Pro versions of iPhone 16 will get the action button that was just on the Pro version this past year. But they're going to roll out a more, he says, when this is an iOS 18, customizable the control center, changeable lock screen options, which kind of makes that action button less of an appealing thing. But he says, speaking of buttons, there will be a new camera control on the right side of the iPhone. This alone would make me want to get it. This is just on the Pro's version, I think. It'll operate like a button on a DSLR camera. You can press in slightly to trigger autofocus. A harder press will take a picture. You can swipe along the button to zoom in and out while shooting videos and photos. Wow. Mm-hmm. That sounds really nice. And again, you're like, why isn't that been there all along? Why did it take this long to get a dedicated camera button mm-hmm. on the phone? And then slightly bigger screens. We're going from 6.1 to 6.3 inches and 6.7 to 6.9 for that.
You know, that sounds little, but it's probably quite noticeable.
Maybe.
You know, I mean.
Yeah. And colors are going to change colors. The blue right. is going to be replaced. They may bring back the rose gold. I mean, it's going to have a new chip, the A18, and at least 8 gigabytes of memory on all of them to run Apple Intelligence. But he says if you have an older iPhone, these are nice upgrades, but probably not must-haves. Right.
So what do you guys are on that monthly or is it a yearly plan or?
Yeah.
So you're going to, you automatically get upgraded then?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You don't have an option to say no?
You can bow out, yeah. But why would you? You're still paying the same amount every month. Why wouldn't you just have the new phone?
Well, that was my next question. You continue to pay if you bow out?
Yeah, of course, till it's paid off.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I guess you could go on a 2-year cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would take two years and then start over, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. And then he says, as early as the beginning of 2025, next year, Apple will launch a new iPhone SE. First upgrade to this phone, or major upgrade since 2022. It'll look like an iPhone 14 with an OLED display. And it will, he says, you can bet it's going to run Apple Intelligence as well.
Mm-hmm.
He said the more important changes will appear next September with iPhone 17. He says that's going to offer a new type of smartphone, what he's calling a fourth iPhone model, which is they're going to introduce a thinner design to create an Air version of the phone. They will try to, I guess, differentiate it that if you don't need all these super pro features and you want a really cool, thin, light phone, that's what they're going to focus on.
I was having a conversation just yesterday about this because I saw a commercial for that foldable phone. Is that the Google phone? I don't even pay attention to commercials really, but it folds and you can see it on both sides and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I'm like, why? It's like double the thickness. Yeah, but it's half the size. So we got this argument about is it better to have a bigger flat phone or a smaller, thicker phone? I mean, I'm like, okay, we shouldn't argue about this. But to me, when we were done, I'm like, you know, I was thinking I've had the Pro versions for 5 or 6 years in a row. I may go smaller. I was thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, they made a big deal about the iPad Pro, the new one, being the thinnest device they've ever made, including their iPods, everything. And I have to admit, even now, when I pick that thing up, it's amazing. There's something about it being so thin that's pretty cool. So if they do this, I mean, I'm not going to be happy until it's super, super thin, clear piece of glass, right? I don't even want a case. I don't want any of that. This would be a step towards that sort of thing. Now, you mentioned the foldable one. They're actually, he says, I expect Apple to produce a foldable iPhone, but all signs internally point to a foldable iPad being just as big of a priority, that we may see a foldable tablet first from Apple. That is interesting. Which is kind of what they started with the iPad and then switched to the phone. That's why we got the phone first.
Right. They did. Yeah.
In this case, that's kind of what they're doing again. So we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, does that appeal to you, a thinner phone?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. 100%. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would definitely like to get out of the case. I would like to carry the phone around, but you just can't. To your point, that would be a major breakthrough if at least you could drop your phone 2 or 3 times and it didn't shatter.
Yeah.
Because that's about where you drop it, right? What, you drop it 2 or 3 times a year, maybe? I don't know. But
yeah. Yeah, I dropped mine just the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Me too.
And it took a nice, convenient corner bounce with my case on. So it didn't fall flat. I was lucky. So what else is going on with Apple for the rest of the year? There's a lot going on.
Are we missing Vincent?
Yeah, Vincent, you there?
No, he's gone.
He's gone. Yeah, he was having issues with connection. All right, let's continue.
All right.
And then the other kind of more exciting thing that's happening with Apple hardware, if you will, is the Mac Mini. It's getting completely redone with an M4 and an M4 Pro chip, and it's going to rumored to be the size of an Apple TV, making it smaller. And this is the first revamp of the Mac Mini since the Steve Jobs era, if you will, when he introduced it in 2010. It does. It makes it a lot. And you don't need, you know, initially it had to be that size, right? Because of all the components and everything going into it. You don't really need that anymore, right? Mac Mini. It used to have a super drive in it at one point or not? Was it big enough to do a super? Yeah. Don't need any of that anymore, obviously. So you can make it. I mean, it's basically the parts for an iPad, the iPad Pro right now, which if you open that iPad Pro, you're going to find a lot of empty space. The only reason it's that size is the screen, right?
Right.
The components are down to practically nothing now. So I would love to see that. I would also love to see the Apple TV itself get smaller. Would be kind of cool, which maybe they can do now with stuff. So anyway, they're saying that this will be available probably by October.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. They're also planning on revamping your MacBook Pros and iMacs as early as this fall. New MacBook Airs are scheduled to arrive next spring. A new Mac Studio and Mac Pro are in development, I think set to arrive in the second half of next year. A larger iMac is still something they're looking at. Remember, we talked about the 27-inch iMac being dead. they're still looking at maybe being a 30 inch and it might come in the next year or so. So lots going on with hardware at Apple, and then the most important thing here, I don't want to skip, is the idea that we've mentioned before, and that is a plastic Apple Watch SE. So Apple is going to, for the first time, be moving this model away from aluminum and using a plastic case. And it will be the first time. Now, according to this, this is from Mark Gurman. He says it will be the first time that any Apple Watch has used a plastic shell since the initial version in 2014. That's not right, is it?
No. Was there a plastic?
I didn't think there was. I didn't think there was ever a plastic. There's a gold version.
Right.
And then stainless steel. And then wasn't the first one aluminum?
Right.
I don't remember a plastic version. I think he's wrong here. Anyway, he's saying, why would Apple do this? Well, obviously cost, right? To bring it down in cost, they want to get this SE down to close to $200. That's what they're looking for. And then they're going to say, he says, the other reason is that if it's plastic instead of aluminum, you can have bolder colors, make it more kid friendly. He says with recent school phone bans, Apple has been touting its watch as a low cost phone alternative to help parents stay in touch with their children and track their whereabouts, all appealing to that. So everything about this will probably be marketed as something for kids. But I would love to get one just to see what it's like in plastic.
It says Apple Watch Series 1 and 2 were available in a version called Apple Watch Sport, which featured an aluminum case rather than plastic. Apple itself has never officially released an Apple Watch with a plastic case. This is ChatGPT.
Yeah, I don't think they ever have.
Yeah. The main materials used for the Apple Watch cases cover various, you know, aluminum, stainless steel, which you just said, right? So, yeah.
So it is Mark Gurman, his article is being written by AI or what?
It might be. I don't know. Well, it did say, then it said, hey, but there are plastic cases available for your Apple Watches to help with bumps, scratches. And
that's the external case.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's different. That's a little different. All right. And I think this is our last story we're going to talk about here, but this is a most unusual story.
Definitely.
We mentioned it a little bit in the past, and wow, it's just kind of mind-boggling that Apple is looking to make an iPad-like robotic home device, and they're targeting it to be under $1,000. So they are moving forward with this. They're apparently ramping up work on what's called a tabletop smart home device with a robotic arm, which would serve as a smart home command center. I love that. Video conferencing machine and remote controlled home security tool. Wow. So again, this is from Mark Gurman reporting that Apple has a team of several hundred people working on this device. The first thing I think of when you say it has a robotic arm or limb that tilts and turns, I think of the old iMac, right? The old Sunflower iMac.
Right.
That, yeah. I would love it if they brought back that look. I know they won't, but if it had a nod to that look, that would be amazing if they could do that. So it's going to be able to tilt up and down, spin 360 degrees with an actuator and a thin robotic arm to move around a large display. Now, get this. The work is being led by Kevin Lynch, who, the vice president of technology. Lynch also worked on the car project, but prior to that, he worked on the watch.
Right, right.
So now the car project is shut down. He's shifted over to that.
Yeah, he had some cycles after the car shut down.
Yeah. The company, so they're also working on a... that, or at least has discussed the idea of a humanoid version. That's going too far. these projects are being led in part by Hans Tapiner. Tappanier?
It's hard to say.
Anyway, he's a robotics expert who has about 100 former car team engineers reporting to him. So this is kind of their shift. They went from working on, they killed the car project. A lot of people got let go, but a lot of people got shifted to Apple Intelligence and now also to this robotics thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple is targeting a release date of 2026 or 27 for a tabletop home device and is looking to get the price down to about $1,000. I think it needs to be lower. It needs to be much lower.
Agree. That's pricey. Well, go back to this humanoid robot that will move around the home.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm just saying it's a silly idea, but yeah, they're looking at that too.
I mean, it's basically, it won't move around their home. It'll move around one room. I mean, it's not really going to go downstairs or anything, but.
Oh, of course not.
So it's like, hey, you guys, you're off the car, but you're on this humanoid robot. They're like, what? That's my job? But I don't know. It seems odd.
It is odd. And there was something in this article I want to read. He says, in many ways, this is a second life for Apple's failed car project. A self-driving vehicle is essentially a gigantic mobile robot, but it has to operate correctly 100% of the time. A home robot driving down hallways rather than city streets can probably work 80% of the time and still be effective.
Yeah, I would have to think through the use cases for that. Because right now I can't think of a whole lot. Maybe you can send it to Walgreens to get a prescription, you know, and you see all these robots going around. They do it now, right? They have robots deliver food at campuses. I mean, it happens.
But around the home, we already have like the robot vacuum cleaners, right, that run around your house.
Yeah, right.
Those are getting more and more sophisticated, doing more and more things. So I guess the idea of something is okay, but you're right. Stairs pretty much kills its use.
Oh, and your dog would either attack it or run away from it.
Right. It's just, well, I guess that's what they do with the vacuum cleaners now too.
They do. Well, I will say this. I'm joking around a lot, but seriously, a lot of times in these projects, you get a lot of R&D that you never thought you're going to get that you can use for something else. So, you know, the investment could work out into something that we don't even know is out there yet. You never know.
Yeah, it could be something really amazing, but that's pretty high pie in the sky thinking there. But
it is.
Just a real quick note, just to let you know, Vincent has having technical issues. That's why he hasn't chimed in on any of these stories here recently. If he comes back, we'll click him back into the show here. But that's why you haven't been hearing from Vincent. He does have opinions on this, I'm sure.
This would be a good one.
Not available at the moment. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with the, I mean, I'm more excited about just the tabletop thing being your home hub.
Right.
A lot smarter and more intelligent for Apple to really get into the home game. And I think that's the first thing you have to do before you start doing, you know, humanoid robots.
I agree. I even go back one step. I'm excited that you get to pick your home hub. I mean, that's basic. I'm excited about that.
Right.
Because I've been waiting for that because I do have to do some major upgrades to my entire smart home. It's 4 or 5 years old now. And believe it or not, you know, there could be some upgrading. So I'm waiting to be able to select my home hub before I do anything.
Well, have you updated to iOS 18 public beta?
No.
Okay. I've been on it. And that was one of the first things I did was I went into the home app and I went to settings and I went to the home settings and I chose home hubs and bridges and I don't have the option of choosing.
Hmm.
For some reason, I don't have it.
Oh, don't tell me it's only when you create a new network.
I think I have to update all my other devices. I think all HomePods and Apple TVs have to all be brought up to that level.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, just like when a watch and the phone have to kind of be up to date for a certain feature.
Right. Now, with all the renovation stuff we've been doing, I just now got my TV in the living room hooked back up with its Apple TV, which is the one I want to use as the main hub. That's why I want to be able to select it. Well, once I hooked it up, it defaulted to that one. So I don't really need to choose it now because it's chosen the right one for me.
Okay.
Which is crazy because I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've got 11 possible hubs and it picked the right one.
Yeah, same. I have at least that many.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hopefully at some point with an update, maybe the actual software instead of the beta will do that, will work for me. But I do think you have to update all your HomePods and stuff as well.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom.
Which I'm not going to do right now.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, one last thing to mention is this was an article about Apple and its continuing, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this if you want to see it. It's continuing work with trying to create a modem for the mm-hmm. phone. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of fascinating what goes into it and how tough it is to actually do and how close Apple might be getting to it, but not. But the idea is if they could create their own modem, they wouldn't need to buy them from Qualcomm mm-hmm. and they could put Wi-Fi and Bluetooth together on this chip and then eventually maybe put everything on one chip and how that might change the direction and design and everything of their phones going forward. It's a pretty interesting story.
It was. You know, it's kind of those hidden stories when you're not, I feel like a person that is in the technical field would really know this and understand it. I you know, to me, it just kind of, when I read it, I didn't even think about it, to tell the honest truth, but it was very insightful.
Well, it just, the history is kind of interesting because when Apple was getting chips from another manufacturer instead of Qualcomm, they had that whole antenna gate issue, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? Remember that with Steve Jobs who said, famously, you're holding it wrong when you would drop calls, you know, mm-hmm. because when you touched it, it would mess with the antenna, which was in the frame of the phone.
Right, right.
To where they had to give everybody a free case to help prevent that. And they don't want to do that mistake again. So they're paying a ton of money to Qualcomm because Qualcomm has it down, state of the art. They know what they're doing, been tested and all that. And for Apple to create a new chip is very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. But that's the long game. And it's weird because it's the kind of thing that nobody's really going to notice.
Right. That's what I was saying.
Other than your phone doesn't drop calls.
Right.
So anyway. All right. What else is that? Is that it for the news?
Yeah, it looked like pretty much every story.
Okay. So we'll get to our tips. We'll get to our, sorry, wrong show. We'll get to what we like here in just a minute. But a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. So you can become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. As we talked about in the beginning of this show, with Patreon and everything that's going on, this is the way you can subscribe to us. You can check out our page. It's at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast. Subscribe, become a patron of our show, and a big thanks to all of our patrons. As I say every show, you make this show possible. We couldn't do it without you. So do subscribe there, and we will keep you up to date as to what's going on with Patreon and Apple. All right, so what we like this week, Chris, why don't you kick it off?
I will, Tom. It's going to be AI driven, but just going back, I had to re-log into ChatGPT. I forgot I changed my passcode. So just going back to that story.
Yeah.
In 2023, Patreon distributed $4.1 billion to creators.
Ooh.
And that's across six sites. So they did some searching.
So what's 30% of that?
30% of that is a chunk. It is
120 million.
It is. Yeah. So I think it's 1.23 billion.
A billion.
So it's that's why Apple went after it, right?
Yeah, they need to rethink that.
And I was doing some other things too. The average amount pledged per month per patron is $24.41. So $25. Just curious.
Okay.
Yeah, so
interesting.
Yeah, it is. I got a lot more information here, but I could go on forever probably. Okay. But what I like this week is a website called There's an AI for That.com. Now,
all right.
There's no apostrophe in there. So just, and I sent you the link on text, so you can put it in the show notes.
Okay.
So I just, a friend of mine gave me the reference to this site earlier in the week. So I haven't done a deep dive, but basically it's all AI driven apps. And there is some categorization of it. like just launched. It's month by month. There's a listing of AIs. Let me read a couple to you. SEO Juice for, and then it has the reason for this one. This one obviously search engine. Sputter AI for chatbots. Hypertext for SEO content. Muck Brass, startup ideas. Now that one sounds kind of cool, right? Quick Clip for video summaries. Aspire Art for images. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of AI apps on here. You can sort them by month. You can look at just launch. You can look at featured, which is, you know, probably paid. You look at popular, which is probably most download. Then there's a request tab. So people can, you can put a new request in here for what you'd like to see in AI. Hmm. And I'm not really sure what happens to it. I'm going to dig into it. And people vote on them. You can vote on if you like this or not. And it's kind of cool. Now you sign up for it. It says free mm-hmm. sign up. And I don't know if there's a paid version of it because I didn't look yet. But I would encourage you, if you're interested in seeing what's out there from an AI and app standpoint, this website is kind of cool.
This is kind of mind-boggling how many isn't there
it?
Are.
Isn't it mind-boggling? Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Now I see the big explosion here.
Like data gems, marketing yeah. automation. I mean, if you really went into this, like, you know, what I like this last show is about sell, yeah. you know, when I'm doing an AI in sales.
Right.
I told you the marketing team is the one that's kind of like, you know, I don't know if we can ever take creative away from people. I'm like, you should go look at these things, man. I've been, you know, feeding them some websites or some AI sites. And I don't know if I'm changing their mind or not, but I've got a couple people really interested in it. So anyway, there's an AI for that. I suggest you check on it.
Yes. And it sorts it by month too. Every month there's
yes.
new stuff. This reminds me a lot of when the watch first came out and the apps that were
yes.
flooding yes. the market. Mm-hmm. You couldn't keep up with it all through the app store. And there were sites like this that would collate all the latest
yes.
Apple Watch apps.
Yes. And those, they were really good.
Yeah. That's very similar. Very cool.
Now I yeah. will do this just one last thing before I have a friend who went to the Cricket World Cup. He's a friend of mine from India, and you know, India won the World Cup and he went there to watch it. And I'm like, I have no idea how cricket works. I now know how cricket works with ChatGPT. I said, you know, treat me right. as a 5-year-old kid just learning how to learn cricket. And yeah. you know what? It's not that complex. You just got to know the basic 4 or 5 rules, and then it's yeah. easy.
Yeah.
And it mm-hmm. gave me videos. It said, click here. This is a quick snippet on how this works. And I was like, oh my gosh, I learned that. And then one other thing too, I had a friend of mine who's like, I know nothing about Medicare. I spent about 15, 20 minutes on ChatGPT 4.0, emailed him, and he said, where'd you get this information? It was just, you know, I just kept asking questions about Medicare. By the way, if you need to know about Medicare, email me. I know everything about it. So I learned about cricket and I learned about Medicare through ChatGPT 4.0. And you know, it's quite amazing how much knowledge there is you can learn.
Okay. I just found one I have to have.
What's that?
It's called Font Joy. And it helps helps designers select font pairings.
Okay, so you weren't even listening to me. You were in this website trying
No, I was listening to you. But once I saw that, I'm like, oh my God.
Font Joy.
Okay.
That sounds like a restaurant to me or something.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to get lost in here. I know I am. Thank you for completely destroying my productivity for the next week or two. But
you're welcome.
It should actually increase my productivity in the long run.
I was just going to say that. Right. Your productivity would be better then.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome back, Vincent. Sorry, we lost you for a while there. You're back. What do you like this week?
So I bit of FOMO there with Tom at the latest version of iOS and everything. I started downloading the public beta, at least not the developer version. The public beta has of iOS 18. First impressions, I guess, is what I like of what I'm seeing on the first things that you see when you install it. The first thing that came that was most obvious was kind of the dark mode, because I had updated around the evening time, and you start seeing these brand new icons
yeah.
that you can turn off, which by the way, you can like go through and customize what it does, but by default it will switch to the kind of dark mode version of your icons, and you're like, what is this new thing? So I think I'm probably going to switch it back after about a couple of weeks of using it. I kind of like my older icons, and you can do that by the typical hold down the icons until it starts to wiggle, and then there's a new edit button on the top right corner that allows you to customize whether or not, you know, you can use the automatic changing, or you can choose it to be tinted or whatever that might be. You can also resize the icons to use the larger version, which doesn't have the labels underneath. So there's a couple of, like, you know, first impressions on that. I started using some of the widgets, which technically you could have an entire page of just huge widgets, and you know, have kind of a quick launch pad like you do on the like when you swipe right. With the things on the left, so you can have any of those widgets on one of the normal pages of your phone. That's fun. I'm just going to probably use one of those kind of features. The other hidden thing that iOS 18 has is that each one of your icons now has a long press. I don't know if maybe it was there before, but the long press allows you to do a lot of other shortcuts related to that particular app. Or you can... from a privacy perspective, I think some of them now require you can set Face ID in order to open up that app as well. So that's kind of a neat new feature. That's kind of not very obvious until you kind of long press on it.
I did not know that was even there.
Yeah, all these little tiny things with the icons. Besides the coloring and the ability for you to move icons around, I'm not quite sure why I would do that just yet, other than like kind of using like that big panel of widgets that I was talking about. As you were speaking, Chris, I was thinking that the natural evolution of, you know, AI is going to be sorting some of the apps that you use the most onto a smart page, right?
Right.
And so it just makes it a lot easier for you to access some of the things that you normally do all the time. So kind of most recent or things like that. I feel like that directionally is where it should head anyway. But besides that, I mean, the control center is a lot more complex now in terms of the tabs and the paneling. Yeah. I can't get directly to the home app, which is the one thing that I use the most. Just kind of control my lights and all the automation. It has a subset of the stuff that you use the most. And then it does rotate the kind of, like, I have two primary control center widgets, I guess, that will control my lights. But they will dynamically change depending on the latest ones or the most common ones used at that time. That's kind of cool. I'm starting to notice that.
Yeah, and when you told me about the long press, if you long press on the home app, you get I can set my scenes are right there. I can just tap them and do it.
All the stuff, yeah.
It makes it much easier and faster. Right. And widgets, you can put them for any individual thing. You can put it there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one weird thing that I'm trying to work around is like when you do have a large widget and it starts to shift everything over, the icons, the little ones that you have, it creates a brand new page in between, so it's not shifting it over to the one that's existing. And so you'll have this one big blank page, and then you have to shuffle things around. One tip that my daughter showed me is that when you're moving icons around and it's wiggling, you can use your other finger to tap on multiple icons and group them all at the same time while you move them.
Oh, wow.
You don't have to move them one at a time.
Nice. Oh, wow. Nice.
Wonder how long that feature's been there.
I know, no idea, but I'm like, oh goodness, I don't have to move one icon at a time.
I think I remember hearing about that and just never doing it, to tell you the
truth.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty neat. It's a weird feeling using your other hand. So it's like, but that's just quick first impressions of iOS 18. It's gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm large icon dark mode all the time.
Oh, yeah?
All the time.
Oh, really?
I'm just loving the new look. Yeah.
Dark icons are weird.
Yeah, they're different. That's what I like. It's like they're all look a little weird, but kind of cool. Because now, if you set it to the automatic mode, then it changes, right? During the day. During the day, you have your normal icons. At night, they go dark.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
I think what you're saying, I mean, do you do the automatic or just consistently dark all the time?
I just left it on dark.
Yeah, I think the consistency is what throws me off for a bit.
I like it. Anyway, that's cool. Yeah, it's we got about a month here. It'll be ready for everybody probably, the iOS 18. All right, Chris, I know you had to go. Can you hang around a little bit longer?
Yes.
You good? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll go into what I like here. Continuing with my home automation thing for the summer here. Recently, the MyQ app, which is the Chamberlain garage door and gate openers company, they decided to remove their APIs for third parties to have access to their devices like HomeKit. So through something like what I mentioned before, Hoobs, HOOBS, or other home apps that use plugins to give you HomeKit access to non-HomeKit devices, they no longer work with MyQ. Someone there decided that they will not support HomeKit or other home control systems and that you must use their app only, which, by the way, runs ads at the top for their other MyQ services and devices. So they're not playing well with others. And I understand not offering HomeKit support or the ability for someone else to provide it, but to allow it and then remove it for no reason is just ridiculous. I mean, they had this support and they took it away. And can you tell I really don't like this? But hey, it's their product. Maybe, if they want to alienate a large segment of their existing and future customers, that's their right. Just as it is my right to tell everyone I know not to buy their products and that I will not be buying them whenever I upgrade or change up my garage door opener or gate opener. Anyway, I did discover a way around this ban that they've done on easier access with a company called Remootio, R-E-M-O-O-T-I-O. But it is kind of strange. They're out of Budapest. And I found them after an extensive search. They were one that a lot of people were using to bypass MyQ. So this is basically an accessory, a hardware, a device that you attach to your gate control box that acts as its own remote control, either through Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or the internet. It doesn't need a bridge or a hub. It works along with your existing remote controller, so nothing changes there. It's just adding the functionality of working with HomeKit, Amazon Alexa, Google Home, or SmartThings, right? So it makes it smart by bypassing the MyQ. I kind of like that option. So now, not only do I have another way to open and close the gate, but I can also use Siri. It's so handy when you don't, you know, the problem with this is you have to dig out the remote out of your car or wherever it is in the house to open or close the gate on the driveway. Or I got to open the MyQ app on my phone or on my watch and wait for it to load. Way too often it doesn't, and it needs to be restarted, especially the watch app drives me crazy. This Remootio has its own Apple Watch app as well. And I've put it as a shortcut on my watch face, and it works great. But I actually prefer just to politely ask Slow-Mo to open or close the gate. And it does it, which is just amazing to me. I can be pulling up to the driveway and just say that to my watch, and it opens. Also, now that it's a part of HomeKit, I can add this to my nighttime scene to make sure the gate is closed along with locking the doors and turning out the lights and all that stuff. Love it. The only issue I've run into is sometimes it gets a little confused on the state of open or close. And I think it has to do with the sensors that you have to mm-hmm. attach these sensors that are magnetic so it mm-hmm. knows when it's open and closed. I think I need to adjust them. I think they might be too close together or too far away. I'm just going to mm-hmm. have to tweak it a bit. Other than that, I'm happy to say I successfully added another smart device to my home that I didn't have in HomeKit before. The Remudio 3 with sensor and power adapter is $119. And as always, I'll put a link in the show notes for it. Mm-hmm. So my next task will be to replace the MyQ for my garage door opener with a different company's device mm-hmm. that does a similar thing, bypasses it. So,
well, don't feel bad. I installed something a couple of years ago to open and close my garage door. And open is closed and close and open. I've never changed it.
You had it reversed?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not climbing back up there to change it. But but everyone in my family is all confused about it. Like, is the door open or not? I'm like, just remember it's opposite.
Yeah.
It's certainly the sensor.
Yeah,
definitely the same thing.
It's the sensor. When the battery goes low on that thing, it's just all wonky. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, just remember, open is closed and closed is open.
That's exactly what it is.
That's all you have to know.
Everyone's used to it.
Yeah, exactly. At least it's consistent, right? Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. Anything else before we do the laziest thing possible and use walkie-talkie to announce dinner instead of walking into the next room?
No, I use intercom. Yeah.
Or intercom is the other thing I've started to use.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It's just, I'm like, it's right there. I could just walk over, but, you know, it's on my watch. Why not? All right. Well, it is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. Again, if you'd like to support our show, check out the Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show every couple of weeks. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. And by the way, I did get an email from, I think it was Kathy, talking about my voice being lower than both of you. And I checked my mic settings, and I think it had to do with something in the editing. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's operator error. I apologize for that. Okay. I will make sure, because that annoys me to no end when I listen to a podcast where someone's lower and the other people are too loud. So I will, hopefully this episode, everybody will be on the same level. So thank you for that email.
Well, go ahead. I thought Vincent and I can both go like this if you wanted us to.
Just whisper and we'll all be at the same level. How's that? Okay. No, it has to do technically with something called LUFS, L-U-F-S. And they have to be the same. Anyway, it's a post-editing thing. Yes.
Yeah, right,
yes,
right.
It's a little too much behind, little too much inside baseball there. All right. Well,
GPT, tell me about LUFS.
There you go, LUFS.
I'm going to do that right now. Hold on.
What is a LUF and how do you use it?
I'm guessing I'm going to get all kinds of things you don't want to hear.
Yeah, what is a LUF? As always, thanks for listening. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.